Our lesson this morning is out of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 21. The epistle of 1 Timothy was written by the Apostle Paul, possibly from Macedonia, around AD 63 to 66, after he had been released from his first Roman imprisonment. Paul wrote the letter to direct Timothy on pastoring the church at Ephesus, and in 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 19, Paul gave valuable insight on how a pastor, or any believer for that matter, should properly and righteously handle money. So we view 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 21 for our insight, our application, and our edification. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into the Word. Father, we thank you for your Word. Thank you for the Spirit of God who indwells us as believers, who authored Scripture through holy men of God, who then equips us to obey the Word. And we ask for wisdom to utilize these various ministries of the Spirit of God this morning, that we might understand the subject about which Paul addressed here, and then apply it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we'll read the passage and then we'll look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 6 through 21. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou also art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give you charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed into your trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Okay. The previous context that led to Paul's teaching on the proper handling of money in 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 19 was his remark in verse 5b about the greedy way that false teachers handled money. You remember he says, he's talking about men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw yourself. The gain he's talking about there is a financial gain. And of course, financial gain is not necessarily godliness at all. Now, financial gain doesn't mean that you're ungodly. Solomon, when he started out his reign, sought from the Lord, said, "What do you want from me?" And he said, I want wisdom so that I can rule this great people. And because Solomon had not asked fame for himself or wealth or these other things, God says, I'm going to make you fabulously wealthy. I'm going to give you wisdom, won't end and everything, and you'll have a great name in the earth. So the Lord blessed him with these other things because he knew he could trust Solomon at this point, because Solomon was committed to needing the wisdom to rule the people, to do his job well. So there's nothing innately wrong with money. I mean, if you're here this morning, you happen to be a millionaire, God bless you, all right? There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But what's wrong is materialism, and a person can have $25 in the savings account and be materialistic. because it's a state of mind. So anyway, money is the medium of exchange for goods and services in the world. So a believer does need to handle money. Accordingly, Paul taught Timothy how to handle money righteously in verses 6 through 19. Timothy was to focus on being godly and content with what he materially possessed, for such an attitude is truly a great gain in this life. That's verse 6. We believers in Christ brought nothing of material wealth with us when we entered the world, and we can take nothing of it with us when we leave it. That's true. Think of the most wealthy person in the world. When they die, they don't take it with them. In fact, even according to the probate court, it belongs to their estate. And then the question is, who's going to take their estate? So once you leave this life, you leave all the money behind anyway that you might have. However, that with which we believers are to be content, as defined by Paul in 1 Timothy 6:8, involves a lot more than just providing for our next meal and for the clothes that we will wear tomorrow. And I want to explain it. I know the King James Version says in verse 8, and having food and raiment. Raiment is an old word for clothing. Let us therewith be content. He actually does not use the word food, and he doesn't use the word clothing there at all. It's actually a mistranslation, and I want to explain this. The King James word for food translates the Greek word diatrophos. It's the accusative plural of diatrophe. And in the plural, it refers to the means of subsistence. The means of subsistence is what you have as your job by way of getting income, or maybe there's a pension or whatever. The source that you get the money that you need to make the exchange for goods and services in order to survive. That's what he's talking about. In addition, the King James word raiment or clothing translates the Greek word skepasmata. That's the accusative plural of skepasma. And it literally means covering in the sense of anything that serves as a cover and hence as a protection, like clothing or even a house. Now in New England, if you're going to live, you have to live in a house, because when it gets down to 7 degrees or 0 degrees or minus 3 degrees, you can't live outside. Even the homeless people have to have shelter, and the government is aware of that. So they open up gymnasiums and so forth, because as human beings, we need to survive. Maybe if you're in Florida, it could be different down there. Although in Florida, even in the wintertime, it can get pretty cool down there. But you'd need some covering. But we had a big storm that came through, our house was pelted with 2 1/4 inch hail, according to the insurance adjuster. This happened on July 4th when we were in Torrington. And so we're going through the process there dealing with that. So you have to have covering, you have to have house. So in New England especially, I would say housing in addition to the source or the means of that. Now you have to have clothes, obviously. Clothes would cover the body, but you have to have something more than that to cover you if you're going to get into a blizzard or severe storms and whatnot. Even the heat, you gotta get out from the sunshine, even if you don't have central air, so forth. Some people need central air and whatnot. So, thus we are to be content with what maintains our livelihood and covers our bodies in the form of clothes, housing, health insurance, etc. In today's world, this of necessity includes not only providing for our current material needs, but also the savings and the investments needed for our future retirement, etc. I got to emphasize that one, because when you look at inflation and what's happening in the country by way of inflation, the cost of and so forth, $1 million today is worth probably about $250,000 was maybe 15, 20 years ago. That's what's happening because of inflation. So this is something we constantly have to be aware of and thinking about. So having established this definition of that with which we are to be content, Paul warned that they who will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin. What Paul then opposed in 1 Timothy 6:9 was aiming to gain wealth beyond what one needs to secure his livelihood and covering, as expressed in this current life. So you have to keep in mind, you know, what the dollar amount that you're going to need 20 years from now is going to be different than the dollar amount you need today. The dollar amount people are going to need 40 years from now is going to be a lot different than what the dollar amount is today. You have to keep that all in mind when it comes to handling money and investments and whatnot. So Paul then charged Timothy to flee the lust for money and aiming to be rich with its troubles, and to replace that goal with those of righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. So we have to have a balanced view of money. We have to have money. We have to, and it's good for a Christian to look out and seek to have a secure livelihood. That's our responsibility. 1 Timothy 5:8. If a man doesn't take care of his own household, he's worse than an unbeliever. That's what Paul says in 1 Timothy 5:8. So we have to be on the lookout, and every head of household constantly needs to be thinking about these. He needs to think about the present. He needs to think about 5 years from now, 10 years, 15, 20, 30 years from now, if the Lord should tarry and whatnot. So you got to be aware of that. You have to be making plans in regards to that. But being rich is where, okay, I want to be, you know, before I die, I want to make sure that I am worth $25 million or, you know, something that, you know, you're not going to need in 20 years from now if you're in your 60s or whatnot. So it's a matter of motive. What's the motive? Are you just trying to be rich because you want to be proud, or are you trying to take care of your livelihood? And so we have to be careful about making a judgment on ourselves as well as judging other people. So Timothy was to fight the good fight of faith, and I believe that's the definite article, the faith, that's a faith in Christ, in God, taking hold of the eternal life to which he was called. This doesn't mean that he's gaining eternal life. He's just grabbing hold of the eternal life that he already has. To keep this commandment and following Christ's example until Timothy met the Lord. So Paul then delivered a short but wonderful doxology about the glory of God in 1 Timothy 6:15 to 16. And then he returned to his theme of properly handling money. And Paul told Timothy what to charge other believers who were rich in terms of this world's view. The rich being that which significantly exceeds what a person needs for his own livelihood. Timothy was to charge believers who were materially rich, that's people who had a lot more than what they needed, in the world's estimation, not to be proud, nor to trust in the uncertainty of their collected wealth, but to trust in the living God, who gives us believers richly all material things we receive from him to enjoy. So once again, God is the one who is providing the material things for us to enjoy. So we need to keep in mind that there's nothing innately wrong with material things. The wrong comes with the attitude. What's the attitude? Is this making me proud and stuck up? Is this making me self-sufficient rather than realizing that I constantly have to lean on the Lord or not? And then also Timothy was to tell rich believers, that's believers who had a lot more than what they needed for this life, to be willing to share of their bounty. Notice he didn't say give it all away. He says be willing to share. And so a wealthy person will, you know, there's two ways to help people. You can give a man a fish, you feed him for a meal, but if you teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. So truly wealthy people will seek to use their wealth, and a lot of them do this, to try to equip people with what they do with their money to be able to get the education they need or the training they need so they can become self-sufficient. And that's what you're trying to do, is help them out. They need to be willing to share their bounty with especially needy believers, but also unbelievers. Now I put Galatians 6:6 through 10 down because that passage tells us in verse 10, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. The good there is giving, especially to them who are of the household of faith. So we need to do good in giving alms or goods to poor people. That's true. If, you know, not to enable them to continue to be poor, but of helping people out or in need. But there's a priority with helping fellow believers who are in need. So that's where our priority should be. and then it branches out from that. So in this way, they would lay hold and they would lay up treasure for themselves in eternity, really taking hold of eternal life. See, God is going to bless and reward believers in heaven with what for what they've done with their money, because that's the source of value. And so when we're giving it to further the interests of God, or if we're giving it to help fellow believers who are genuinely in need and they need help, or even helping other people, and it becomes a testimony, all of that is recorded by God. And he keeps very close tabs on it, and he rewards people accordingly. So that enables us to grab hold of the treasure, grab hold of what is really eternal life. Eternal life has grabbed hold of us in Christ. But grabbing hold of that is means entering into and experiencing what real life is, the life that we have in Christ. Then Paul closed his letter urging Timothy to stick to the truth versus the false teachings of his day. So God wants pastors and all believers to take care of the needs, their needs for a livelihood and housing in this life, but not to desire to be rich beyond what they need to have to live out their lives or those of needy dependents on earth. Rather, believers who have more than what they need for this life are to be ready and willing to share of their bounty with other, especially needy believers, to lay up treasures for themselves in eternity with God's blessing. Notice being be ready to share. Doesn't mean you just give it away. You can give money away and it doesn't do any good. There are certain people that don't know how to handle that and wouldn't even take care of themselves. Years ago, I'm glad that the board decreed that I should not be able or put into position to give money away, because there are some people, they'll come around and they'll come to the office of the pastor, they want money, and what they're going to do, they're going to take it out and buy drugs or alcohol. That's the last thing we want to do. So what we've done, I said, I have no control over the money because I myself receive my salary from the church. So we have four people who control that: the treasurer, the assistant treasurer, and the two auditors. Actually, the treasurer and the assistant treasurer have the capacity to write the checks. But they're voted in every year by the congregation. And the board members, the deacons, and I myself do not know who gives what in the church. We never are privy to that information because we don't want money to be something that affects our relationships with other people. We don't even know how much each of us give amongst ourselves on the board. And I love it that way because we're just all servants of the Lord serving the Lord. But what we need to do is to be willing to share as the Lord provides. So may we believers in Christ handle money well, as taught in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 19. Okay, we'll open up the time here for questions and answers. It could relate to this.